Father, this little fellowship comes before you this evening as it joins with many others around our land. Not only to worship you and to praise you, but to proclaim your truth, Christian truth. And Father, we know that we are up against the prince of this world, who seems to be making great inroads. We seem to be fighting a losing battle. Churches are small in number. There's a dearth of shepherds to lead the flock. And it's hard to maintain, to encourage and to keep on encouraging folk to be faithful and to hang on in there, because you will build your church. You will draw in your people. You will have the glory because we're on the victory side. And that's why I pray this evening, Father, at this little gospel service, that you'll continue to bless Pastor and his team here and those who faithfully serve and worship. You'll encourage their hearts. And Lord, we say unashamedly, if there's any here tonight, Lord, all may the words of my lips, the meditation of my heart, the thoughts you've laid on my heart, will be the very words that will enter a soul into everlasting life. Father, it's a bold prayer, but we claim it because you said your truth through the power of the gospel is the means you will build your church, extend your kingdom, and bring glory and honor to your name. And this is why we ask it this evening, Lord. Through feeble, undeserving lips, we want you to be exalted. Hear our cry. Hear my prayer. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Again, thank you for your welcome. When I was invited by Pastor to come this evening, I was told plainly and clearly this service was to be a Christian gospel service. This being so, I took it naturally there may well be visitors here this evening. And two headings came to mind immediately, which is very strange for that to happen to me. I have to sit and ponder for long times and pray and study. But two headings came to mind straight away. And I wrote them down. And believe it or not, we have a free newspaper in London called The Metro. You may be aware of it. And as I was writing my head down, a couple of days later, this article was in The Metro. And it said, mankind more gullible than their ancient ancestors. So you're more gullible than your ancient ancestors. It said, humans are more gullible than ever before. And listen to this. And they struggle to tell the difference between fact and fiction due to the digital age. So what was my headings? My first one was, I speak tonight on the authority of Holy Scripture, this book. That was my first heading. Which is fact. Which is fact. And my second heading was, I speak in the presence of many witnesses to the gospel. And that is a fact. That is a fact. And therefore my heading this evening will be this, as many here tonight will testify. As many here tonight will testify. And having prayed with one brother this evening, I know he's going to agree already, so that's encouraged me. The Holy Scriptures, fact. As many here this evening who are witnesses to this truth, fact. So you're not gullible. And so my heading came naturally, as many here tonight will testify. And then came the question, what is the Christian gospel? What is the Christian gospel? In my allotted time, what is the Christian gospel? Well, tonight this is how I'm going to answer it. And I commence with two questions. Why the concern? And what are the benefits by so doing? Well, the concern, the answer being, how else will folk hear about Christ? How will they hear about salvation if there's no gospel? And the benefits by so doing, it is the gospel that draws sinners to Christ. No other method, no other way, no other system, no other area in life or on this planet or in the universe. It's only the gospel and the preaching of the gospel that will draw sinners into the kingdom and a relationship with Christ. You see, there has to be an acceptable standard to draw in chosen sinners. The Bible calls it righteousness. To be right with God, therefore you need a power to snatch sinners away from the wrath of God, and the gospel this evening is that answer that will take sinners, chosen sinners, out of the power of sin and will lift them up into the glory of everlasting life in heaven. So it could be you. It could be you. Now, many churches soften the gospel. And they soften it so not to offend. Whitley Wood. The gospel is offensive. The gospel is offensive. The gospel is offensive to those not being blessed, and those who do not respond. For the gospel is both a blessing to those who respond to it, being saved, as being a fragrance of Christ, and an offense to those who reject it. An offense. But it's a fragrance of Christ to those who accept it. And the gospel in itself remains glorious because it's the impossible being made possible. Depravity is where we start. First and foremost, the gospel explains the fall of man. How sin entered the world. When Adam disobeyed God in Eden's garden, he bequeathed upon mankind the total depravity, and we do not need to look too far to see the outworking of depravity. Every time you turn on the news, every time you turn on the radio, every time you look at a newspaper, every time you go on the internet and other such evils, you see the outworking of the total depravity of the human heart. We've just been remembering it today, have we not? The outworking of the total depravity of the human heart. We see it for all of us to see, experience all the various outworkings within the human race and within society. You see, this depravity, as I say, is the outworking of sin. Ah, sin. Sin. It's a word definition almost deleted from our vocabulary. Sin comes across as insipid. It's weak. It's naive. And so to point out sin and the results of the sin, the gospel is simply dismissed as laughable. Man has come of age, hasn't he? Man has his own experts to deal with these problems. All these problems that arise out of the depravity of the human heart, they've got their own experts, haven't they? The world's full of experts. But us of an older generation, we know all to no avail. What happens today is we legalize sin, don't we? We accept it or adapt to it. Certainly we become hardened to it. And then we struggle to pick up the pieces as a result of our depravity. Even unbelief is sin. Yet the fact remains, all that man does outside of Christ, in whatever capacity, good, bad or indifferent, his path is on the broadway, it is heading straight to and through the gates of hell, and many are being applauded as they do so. We should be horrified when we see them applauding at a funeral. We could be applauding them through the gates of hell. Serious? The Bible is clear. Sin is very successful, isn't it? And prospers in all that it wills. Prospers in all that it wills, even to the end. Sin is a commitment because the sinner looks for the fruit of his sin. And outside of Christ, man is full of sin. Iniquity. And sin holds him in his power. We become a slave to sin. And therefore that is a direct attack on the glory of God. And what's the result? Well, the result being man's relationship with God is now non-existent. And he's happy to be so. And he's happy to be so. Yet the Bible is clear. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned. All have fallen well short of the glory of God. This is why we die. As a result of sin. No escape. And believe it or not, and most believe it not, this remains a biblical fact. As many here tonight will testify. A biblical fact. We die because of sin, as many here tonight will testify. But, secondly, you will argue, well, isn't God a God of love? Yes. So then, how can a God of love be so cruel by allowing folk, all those folk that do such wonderful works and kindness that some of you may have seen on the telly in the award ceremony this week, how can a God of love allow folk like that go to hell? So cruel? Yes, the Bible confirms God is a God of love. He's full of mercy and truth and grace, but at the same time, he's a just God. And that's due to his holiness. And that's what the sinner cannot see. He cannot see that God must punish the depravity of the human heart. He must punish sin. Sin is an offense to God's holiness. So therefore he is duty bound to deal with sin. He is duty bound to punish sinners. Divine justice has to be satisfied. It's a fact. And of course that's the work of the cross, isn't it? As we shall see. Here is an atonement provided for iniquity. So then, how does God resolve this apparent impasse? Well, his love and mercy is revealed in his initiative. Oh, please grasp this. Oh, please grasp this. In eternity past, before creation's dawn, God set aside a people on whom he would place his love, grace and mercy. Who would benefit from his love and who would benefit from his compassion. A people he actually named. And recorded those names in his eternal book of life. As many here tonight will testify. Fact. So how does God show his love and grace and mercy? And to prove that he is a God of love, as well as a God who has to deal with judge the sin, he set aside a people on whom he was going to place his love and his mercy, his grace, his favour, and he recorded their names in the eternal book of life. Oh, please grasp that. Please grasp that. It's glorious. Oh, so glorious. Now, the truly amazing thing about this unconditional election being two facts. God's chosen sinners would never have chosen to be amongst God's number. Does that surprise you? God's chosen sinners would never have chosen to be among God's number. Chosen sinners are saved against their will. It's amazing, isn't it? And this is why salvation, you see, is of the Lord. For man without grace can will nothing but sin. And even if grace is shown to the unsaved, he will not learn righteousness. So does that apply to anyone here tonight? You see, there's no such sentiment as, I have decided to follow Jesus. You see, one doesn't accept Christ. We receive him. We receive him. And if you're amongst God's number this evening, dear friends, it is because God has chosen you. You see, no child of God can say God loves me because I accepted Jesus, due entirely on the basis the child of God is loved in eternity past. A love that took Jesus to the cross. And secondly, even if those who were chosen were able even to do something, to be able to contribute to that salvation, there is nothing they can do. There's nothing they can give. There's nothing they can contribute. And even if those chosen were so able, there's nothing in them in any shape or form to merit or even earn this divine electing favour. Nothing at all. It's all of God. It's all of God. It's all of him. This is why the gospel is so glorious, isn't it? It's Christ from start to finish. I'm not sure how many of you are so up to date with some of the theology that's hanging around the system at the moment, but there's this works theology, or I must do something, or trying to contribute to their salvation. My friends, that's total heresy, blasphemy even, nonsense. Even if we were able wouldn't be sufficient. It's all of God from start to finish. By grace you are saved, by faith, not of works. Why? In case any man should boast. God will not share his glory with another. It is him. And this salvation we elect in love, as I say, is entirely the work of the Godhead. Entirely the work of the Godhead alone. And you can read all that in chapter 1 of Ephesians, and we read chapter 2, of course. Entirely the work of the Godhead. Chosen by God. Redeemed by the Son. And sealed, called by the Holy Spirit. As many here tonight will testify, fact. But nevertheless, the fact remains, all unrighteousness, all iniquity, therefore the sinner has to be dealt with. And this is why there is a judgment. When all will appear before the judgment seat of God in Christ, nothing hidden from his sight, to whom all must give an account. But, you ask, but what about the chosen sinner you've been telling me about and telling us about this evening? Is God's wrath upon them too? Yes. But again, hear me clearly. For this too is glorious. Oh, so glorious. Whilst God was separating a people unto himself, he was appointing his only begotten Son, who would take their place and so receive upon his shoulders that which they should have borne. All their sin and all their guilt. For while they were still sinners, Christ died for them. Is this you tonight? Will this be your testimony tonight? In other words, so they don't have to go through the judgment. They don't have to face and experience what Christ went through on the cross. Alone. Alone. Even his Father turned his face away. Greater love of no man than this. Christ the Redeemer. Christ the Redeemer for his redeemed. The imperfect covered with that which is perfect. The blood of Christ. For without the shedding of blood there can be no remission for sin. That's why we have the cross. This is why the cross is not universal. The cross is limited to chosen sinners. Here was Jesus as their substitute. In my place he stood. In my place he hung. As many here tonight will testify. Fact. You see, when Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished. Job done." Meant the work of the cross was approved by God. It was completed and it was authenticated by the resurrection. He is not here, for he has risen. Far more than in creation did the glory of the Father shine forth when Jesus was raised from the dead. That's fact, as many here will testify. You see, everything depends on the resurrection. For this now allows the Holy Spirit to call in God's own from the four corners of the earth, who now go on to enjoy all the benefits of salvation. So is he calling anyone here tonight? Well, if so, allow me to encourage you further. Redeemed sinners are now fully accepted by God as a result of the Saviour's sacrifice. All those for whom Christ died are now covered with God's acceptance, righteousness. Meaning God now looks upon his own as righteous. In other words, he looks upon them as though they've never sinned. Clean. And they're now at peace with God. Now what you must grasp, please grasp this. Yes, they're at peace with God on the basis that he has made his peace with the chosen sinner. Not the other way round. We enjoy peace with God because he has made his peace with the chosen sinner, as many here tonight will testify. Fact. This could also be one for one here this evening. Have you peace with your Maker? Have you peace with your Maker? But you ask again, how will I know I've experienced peace with God? After all, I came this evening with no desire or intention to follow Christ. I'm not even sure what made me turn out on a cold, wet, damp evening. Well, here again, God has taken the initiative. Listen now. He will call you by his grace. A grace which is irresistible. And it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. You will have no say in the matter. And so if he should call you this evening, you will respond. You will respond. How? Well, the first thing the Spirit does, he will convict you of your sin. He'll convict you of your unworthiness. He'll convict you of your failings. He'll convict you in many ways. And then he'll convict you that you'll see the need to get right with God. Is this you this evening? Unbelievably then, firstly, he will gift you that repentance. He will gift it to you. It's a coming to yourself, like the prodigal son. He came to himself. You are now beginning to see sin as God sees sin. Therefore you will repent. You'll confess before God in the assurance of a contrite heart. He will not despise. God's wrath now replaced by favour. Forgiveness with God opens the door of heaven to everlasting glory and fellowship with the Father. You see, without forgiveness, the door of hell is open and the door of heaven is shut. That's fact. As many here tonight will testify. And secondly, as repentance is a free gift, so too is the faith to believe. What more must the Lord do? Repentance is a free gift. Faith is a free gift to believe. So allow you now to proclaim, once I was blind and now I can see. From spiritual blindness to spiritual light. Didn't say you'd understand it all, but you will see, you will know. Once I was blind, now I can see. Will that be you this evening? God having brought the word of faith into your heart, so allowing you to begin experiencing all the benefits of salvation, for the joy of salvation is your response as a result of the gospel. And what are some of the results? Prayer. Ah, prayer. The mystery of prayer. this privilege that God gives to his chosen people. When we pray, we go, I mean, if you can get your mind around this, this is so staggering but glorious. When we pray, we go into the presence of God, where he dwells, where the cherubim and the seraphim are saying, holy, 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 as unto the Lord, where the angels are waiting to do their bidding, his bidding. And we have access to the Father on the throne, where the Saviour is interceding and praying for you. The privilege of prayer. Adopted into the family of God, of whom Christ is the head, the true church. Accepted as citizens into the kingdom of God. And now you're off the broad way. Now you're onto the narrow way, leading unto heaven itself. So entering into the joy of the Lord, as many here tonight will testify. Fact. But what I'm going to tell you now is very often missing from gospel messages. And it is this. Following Jesus Christ will not be easy. It will not be easy. Following Christ is going to cost you. That's why it's all of grace. The world put Christ on a cross. This was a sign of the world's total rejection of the Lord and his true church. They'll think you're off from another planet. And this is another reason he has chosen his number to tread a pathway they have not chosen. Yet it could be you this evening. So are there any here this evening who came with your minds made up, being veiled to gospel truth? Well, I warn you, the Bible makes clear he's only veiled to the perishing. But, are you going to leave this meeting this evening, having had the veil removed by the Spirit of God, so you allow you to see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ? You will see it and experience it shine on you. So I say again, hear me clearly. If God is speaking to you, you will know. He's still small voice. He doesn't have to shout. He knows your name. You are elected personally. Is he convicting you this evening by saying, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, I'll give you rest? If so, you will come. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord by his enabling will be saved. Are there any here this evening calling on the name of the Lord? If so, you will hear. And you will hear the promise that the Saviour said, all the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who calls to me I will in no wise cast out. Are there any here this evening calling on Christ Jesus? Will you leave this evening prepared to confess him and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead? Then you will be saved. Otherwise you're denying it. The Bible says seek and you will find, and you will find salvation. All who believe in Jesus will by no means be put to shame. As many here this evening will testify. The very Bible is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have eternal life in his name. Is this you this evening? Well, if so, this on this Armistice Day, you too will have peace, peace with God. No more at war with him, no more his enemy. now indwelt by the Holy Spirit on the foundation, as I say, that he has made his peace with you, grace having reconciled you back to himself. Why? Not only to reveal his grace and mercy towards you. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done? Nothing. Why me, Lord? Because I love you. Because I love you. As many here this evening will testify. Fact. Forgiven by pardoning grace. And therefore you are sealed in him. Now I will close by saying there will be much you don't understand. That's why you must consult pastor. But if the Spirit of God has removed the veil from your eyes this evening and called you to himself, you will come, for grace is irresistible. And then you will go on to serve the Lord. You will serve him in the true church, which reflects the glory of his grace, as here in this fellowship, under your pastor. And you will serve with perseverance in those areas that he has already prepared for you so to do. And he will sustain you. Your salvation can never be lost, and it will never be taken from you. You're preserved by his grace and goodness, therefore you will glory in the Lord. The Bible is clear. Who or what can separate us from the love of God? Absolutely nothing, as many here this evening will testify. Amen.